problem. Think it might be all in your head. Talk with a counselor, or maybe a psychic instead. Doesn't matter how you roll, a knife has taken such a toll. Clenching fist along with your screams. We are here to heal your mind, and we are here to heal your soul. Time to follow your dreams. Side by side. Side by side.
Is Diane Katz, and she's a mental health professional, and we're working to get people the help and healing they need every week, side by side. Diane, welcome.
Welcome, Sheena. Side by side.
It's great to have you here, my friend. So you were the one that actually pitched the idea of this show to me. So when you first saw this show, what did you envision it being? And is that what we're doing right now?
Yeah, you're a fabulous psychic. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to have a show where guests come on and you express your perspective as a psychic, and I, say my perspective as a mental health educator. And it would just be, two different sides, kind of the East meets the West, even though we're both from a holistic standpoint. But I just thought it would be really, really wonderful if we could give, our people who are suffering or have issues a different perspective that they haven't thought of.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think the healing process, and I consider myself a spiritual and an energetic healer. The healing process, I think, in anything is one part psychological and one part spiritual. Because for me, you can't have one without the other. And today on the show, we're talking about grief, and especially when you talk about grief, right? Because you love somebody who's literally going from being a physical, emotional, psychological being to becoming solely a spiritual being. And that spiritual connection changes as somebody becomes not earthbound. I don't know how we can heal ourselves without healing mind, body, and spirit, and emotionally and spiritually at the same time. And I always tell all of my clients, you should have a spiritual counselor, and you should also have a mental health professional that you work with, because there are two sides of you that need to get healed, right?
Oh, I absolutely agree. It is mind, body, spirit. You have to be balanced in all three areas to really be your best self.
Absolutely. And I think also for us, it's an interesting story about us, right? We've known each other for like 30 years through the music business and the journalism world. We didn't know until after you pitched this show to me and we started talking more that we grew up three blocks away from each other in Huntington Beach, California.
That's wild.
Both of us had moms who were our best friends and also incredibly spiritual people. So they were our psychological and our spiritual teachers. Yes. And we both have lost our moms. And I always say to people when they come to me for grief counseling that your life is going to be wonderful, but it's never going to be the same. And I think you have to think about that as you move forward. Even now I'm tearing up as I say that. And I'm the OG in the group today because my mom will be gone 8 years in March. Wow. She's been gone the longest of everybody we're going to talk to today. It's never the same. And I think sometimes part of the process that makes the grieving worse is that you're always trying to recreate that life when they were alive. And that's not going to happen. But you can go on with their spiritual guidance and have a wonderful life. You don't have to be miserable forever because it's not what they want, right?
Right. Yeah, it is a whole different world being without my mother. She was my best friend. And we chose to do the show now because it is her birthday month and her birthday.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mama Katz. And we just thought it would be a really good time to do the show and talk about grief, because I've experienced, she's been gone about a year. and I've experienced a lot of grief, but I've also walked through it and I'm coming out on the other side now. And I've had some spiritual experiences myself with the whole grief thing in my mother, but I would really like to talk to others and see what their stories are and see if we can help them.
Absolutely. I think that's beautiful and 100%. And also it helps us, right? Because I have a healer friend that says, when you give a healing, you get a healing. And I think every time you share a conversation with somebody, you help someone, you share healing with them, it also heals you because it's an ongoing process. And certainly in our time together, we'll probably do 50 shows about grief. This one is particularly about the loss of your mother, and particularly about, because all our people today are women, about mothers and daughters, what it's like to lose your best friend who's your mom.
Right. And, you know, and it's interesting that you said that, because I've always believed we teach what we want to learn. And so here yes. we are, you know, we're expressing ourselves and we're teaching, but we're learning as well, just like you said.
I think it's beautiful. Absolutely. There's nobody I would rather be doing this with than you, my friend. I'm so glad we're here.
That's awesome. Same here with you.
So let's bring on my friend Isabel. So Isabel has, I'm so honored that she's here with us. She has just lost her mom this month. And I know what condition I was in when I had just lost my mom. Yeah. And so I think it's so important she's here because of that. But I also think she's a rock star for being here, because I know how difficult that is. So Isabel, welcome to the show with us. We're so happy that you're here.
Welcome, Thank you, Isabel.
Sheena. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, I was shocked. And Isabel will tell you, Diane, when I texted her about it, I was sort of like, it's okay to say no, .. But because I didn't want you to feel like,
because you better.
You can't deal with any pressure at this time in your life, right? You just have to live day by day and keep breathing. Is that sort of how you feel right now, Isabel?
Yes. And certainly when you asked me, I said yes. And it was, you know, it was okay. And now as I'm listening to you, I certainly feel, you know, the emotion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Me and my mother passed away on January 9th. Mm. And she would have been 93 on January 14th. So just a, you know, a little bit shy of you know, such a long, long life.
Yeah. That was just recently, not a year ago, correct?
No, it was 2 weeks.
Correct. January 9th, 2004. She just passed. Ooh.
Yeah.
You must
yeah.
be and raw.
I'm honored to say that I knew and loved your mom, and she was a very fiery spirit. And she's going to haunt you for a long time, because she's still a fiery spirit. For you, what has been the secret for you getting through the last couple of weeks? I mean, it's 2 weeks today, right?
Yes. And I don't know that, you know, I'm any closer to having any understanding of the grief process. I think, you know, for the first 3 or 4 days, I felt a heaviness and I just slept. I was just exhausted. And I think the last six months of caring for her were especially challenging with her dementia. And mm-hmm. I just was so tired that I didn't expect that once she passed to feel this heaviness. It was almost like, you know, I was in this state of having to take care of everything, having to everything to be okay, and just having yep. to continue to move forward and manage all the different aspects of her care and be as present as I could while also, you know, having a career as well. Only because I didn't have that luxury of just, you know, being completely available 100% of the time, that once she passed, it was just like all of this stuff just hit me. So I literally slept for like 3 or 4 days. And then I was able to kind of come out of that and really start to process that. And it has been pretty, pretty tough, pretty overwhelming.
You know, Isabel, you're gonna go through an array of emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, there's several stages of grief, and you're in the very, very beginning one, usually, which is denial. But I don't think that's your case. And so you're gonna go through so many emotions. Just be gentle with yourself and know that grief is a process, and it's mm-hmm. gonna take what it takes. But do not spend all your time grieving. If you could take a certain time, maybe every day, you know, you might not be there yet because it's only been 2 weeks, but when you get to this point, make a grief hour, make a time mm-hmm. that you can go feel all your feelings. And then at the end of that time, it could be 2 hours, it could be 1 hour, whatever you want. At the end of that time, tell yourself, okay, my grief time is over for now. And I need to try to move on and do things, you know, that I need to do right here in the mm-hmm. present moment. Because that's really all you have, you know, all you can deal with is the present moment when you're grieving. It's just, you know, I know what you're going through, and especially as a caregiver, you know, I was a caregiver right. for my mother too. So
yeah, it was also.
That's a double whammy, because I'm sure you felt grief just taking care of her because you knew that she was gradually going.
Right. And I know you had a similar experience in being the primary caregiver for your mom, and seeing, you know, firsthand as our moms were progressing and continuing to decline. And that also is a huge loss in real time as their mental capacity and physical, you know, capabilities diminish. And there's just a loss there that gradually, you know,
I know, my friend, you know, I grieved that whole time taking care of her because I was watching her slowly mm-hmm. fade away. Mm-hmm. And I thought mm-hmm. when I got to the end, you know, the grief wouldn't be so bad. Boy, was I in for a big surprise. You know, the finale mm-hmm. is huge, and it doesn't remove it any less. It's just as painful, but I had to really be gentle with myself and know, you know, it's like a cut on your arm. You can't force that cut to heal fast. It's going to take what it takes. And you got to just let every stage happen.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, my mom said something very interesting to me when I was, I don't know, maybe in my 30s. She said, you know, kid, I'm 33 years older than you, and I'm probably going to die first. Mm. And of course, the thought of that my whole life was like the apocalypse, right? Like that was the end. And she said, so you have to do one thing for me. Promise me when I die, you won't die too. And I always thought, okay. And I said, okay. And then I thought, oh God, when she dies, I'm completely going to die. So when I was in the hospital that night, and I was her caregiver as well, and she was passing, and I thought, I am going to shut down and die. Mm-hmm. I heard her voice say, when I die, don't you die too. And those first couple of months, I got through the days by thinking, I promise mom I'm not going to die. Mm-hmm. I promised her I'm not going to die. And I had all this work lined up. I was showcasing a couple of plays I was producing, and I was doing a big charity fundraiser weekend of plays. And I had a big birthday party that it was happening at. I was throwing at the Improv for myself. And everybody was like, are you going to cancel everything? And I thought, no, I promised her I was going to keep going. So I just kind of kept putting one foot in front of the other because I had promised her I wasn't going to shut down. And it's amazing how getting just through each day, mm-hmm. knowing that I'm just going to get through this day, I'm just going to get mm-hmm. through this day, and not allowing yourself to go into that shutdown place while you're healing. You know what I mean? Because you're still healing mm-hmm. every day as you move forward. It is getting better, even though it doesn't feel like it yet. It is getting better. You just have to kind of keep putting one foot in front of the other. And it's hard, but I think we do it for them, because I know none of our moms would have wanted us to die because they died, to shut down and have no rest of our lives. I mean, when they're out of their bodies, when my mom first visited me about an hour after she left her body, she was like exalted, like, woohoo, I'm out of the old body and I'm loving it. So they're free, and they want you to be free too. And they understand, even sometimes in their limited capacity, if their brains are getting fuzzy, they understand what we're going through taking care of them and what we're giving up. And the last thing they want when they pass is for us to continue to just be unhappy all the time and not have a life. They want us to be free and have the best life we can give. Now, that doesn't mean sometimes you don't feel guilty. Sometimes I feel guilty about how amazing my life is right now, and she's not here. But then I have to be reminded that she loves where she is, and she's exactly where she's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And she just wants me to be happy too. I think when you lose somebody who's your primary person, there's a tremendous amount of survivor's grief that you're still here. There's guilt and grief that you're left behind, and you have to find a way to sort of reroute yourself. Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I know my mom's at peace and that she, you know, is in a better place. She's not suffering and that she would want me to continue, you know, she would want me to continue and take those lessons. And I know that she continues to guide me and that she is by my side.
That's yes. Great. Yes.
Side by side.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, exactly. What are you doing to honor her, Isabel?
You know, I think one of the greatest things that I can honor her is my mother lived her life with a great deal of grace and integrity. Mm. And I definitely feel that I'm being challenged to rise above in some situations and also to be graceful and show my character and integrity. And I think that my mother would want that. I know that she would. So I think that I can honor my mother by showing that she instilled that in me and that I was paying attention, even though at times I'm sure she thought I wasn't.
Yes.
And yes. I think that if I can, you know, live my life to the best of my ability, in an honorable way, I think that she would want that.
Absolutely.
As well. And yeah. Because my mother was a very honorable person. And she helped so many people, and she, you know, short of being really a saint, she just lived such a wholesome life. And that's how I know that, you know, she is an angel. I know that she is my angel. And of course, I'm, you know, holding a traditional celebration, like a celebration of life. I did go to church on her actual birthday on January 14th. And I actually received a message from her at church, which was really
beautiful,
very powerful. And, you know, those are all really important things to me.
Was the message about, cause she, I'm not butting in, but the message that I keep hearing from her, here I come with my, you didn't ask for this, but here's my psychic message, is that she wants you to really achieve all your dreams, that all the things that you've been putting on hold, she wants you to do now. And specifically in relation to getting your voice out there.
I think that, you know, that is something that she wanted me to do, because she always felt like she was, you know, holding me back a little bit, but I chose to make this commitment. But I think that there was another loss that I experienced a few years ago. Someone yes. very close to me passed away. And, you know, that loss was tremendous for me. The nature of how she passed away and the message that she gave to me was that she went to that person, that she's with that person, and yes. that person is now at peace and they are together. And that brought me great comfort to know that they are together. And that brought me almost a sense of resolution, if you will, where I'm much calmer and knowing that they are together and that, that she's not suffering, and that my mom was almost like a conduit, I guess, to make that happen. And very typical my mom, who yes. would just go and extend an arm, you know, extend herself to help someone else.
Yes, yes. And both of them wanting you to get your voice out there. And in many different things that you feel impassioned about, that it's sort of welling up inside of you. And needs to just burst out and be shared with the world. I think we all take that time. Diane, certainly you did too, right? You cared for your mom for a long time. And
yeah.
so it's a long time where you put your own art and your voice and your creativity on hold because she was your priority, right? And this show is kind of part of you bursting out, right? This is you
right,
getting your
right.
voice out there.
Yeah, I had to put my whole life on hold. But I still did everything I could, you know, I did everything I could to help her on her journey. And, you know, you guys were talking about what your mom would have wanted from you. It's interesting when you were saying that, I was thinking at the very end of my mother's life, the very end, I thought she had passed already. and she was still hanging on. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that until somebody said she's still alive. And I'm like, you're kidding me. So at that moment, I could see a little redness in her cheek. And I held her hand and I said, Mom, I'm going to be okay. It's okay to go. And as soon as I gave her permission and I told her I was going to be okay, that's when the redness left her cheek and she left her body. So, you know, in the spiritual realm, Sheena, I think they do want us to carry on and, you know, move forward. But Isabel, since we have so little time, I want to know on the mental health side, what are you doing to take care of yourself?
You know, I'm creating a kind of a meditation, kind of a spiritual room out of my mother's room. Beautiful. I have completely changed that room. And it may sound weird, but I actually go in that room every morning and I talk to my mom and I tell my dog, Chub Chub, who's very close to her. I say, you know, Grandma says good morning. And we talk to her. And I sometimes I'll read in there. I put a chaise lounge in there and I read in there because I can feel my mother's presence. It's, I can feel her around me. So I allow myself a space to receive that.
That's fabulous. You know, you're facing it. And I know so many people who are grieving and they don't want to deal with it at all. They don't want to look at any pictures. They don't want to talk about it. But you are dealing with it, you're accepting it, and that is going to move you so much faster through the grief process. Don't you agree, Sheena?
100% And it's interesting that you say that because my mom, when she passed, the first message that she gave me was that I had to open my spiritual practice. And I changed my entire life, shifted it out of entertainment and into spirituality because I always listened to my mom when she was alive. Why would I stop now? part of that was moving back here into her home, and I do all of my work and all of my shows. I'm literally sitting at her desk right now, and there is an energy to adopting their space, Isabel, and that space that holds so much of their energetic resonance that's left, right, and using that as the hub for your spirituality and your creativity because they are there. They're there helping you. And I think it's beautiful that you go in and you talk to her. It's so important that we stay in communication with them because they can help us through this. We just have to let them.
I actually needed some help with something and I prayed to her and she did. You know, I it was just it's really crazy. You know, long story short, I have a rescue dog, a shepherd, and he got away from the foster and it's been raining. And I'm like, oh my God. And we couldn't find him. And I've just been very distraught over it. I didn't need this. And I was up all night and I said, Mom, please help me. Please help bring Shadow home. And I swear to God, I got a call and his foster's like, I found him. He's home. I'm like, what? We've been looking for this dog for 3 days. And as a rescuer, I mean, that's just, it's just the worst thing that can happen to you that a dog gets out. I'm like, oh my God, you know, 3 days in Hemet. He's been looking for this dog. I'm like, we are not going to find the shepherd. And he's like, I have him. I found him. I'm like, what? And I swear to God, me being up all night asking my, I finally, you know, just asked my mom to help me. And I'm just convinced that my mom had a hand in it. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm just convinced.
No, not at all.
Had a hand in it. I really do. I really do.
Sounds right.
Ask and you shall receive.
Absolutely. Sweetheart, you're doing so great and we're so proud of you. Thank you for being our first guest on our first show. That's never easy. And we really appreciate you doing that. And please let us, we're both here for you. Let us know what we can do to make your journey easier. And we'll be sending lots of love to you and your mom.
Thank you both. Thank you for having me. And I wish you all the best with the show. It's great.
Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. I don't know about you, Diane Katz, but I'm kind of liking working side by side with you.
I'm liking it too. This is wonderful. We get to show both perspectives and we both relate to each other so well. So
thank you. You know, my mom used to always say, and you'll hear a million my mom used to say's on the show, and I probably will from yours too.
Yeah.
My mom used to always say that healers are supposed to experience things. And sometimes they're tough things, awful things, so then they can help other people through them. They can be teachers. And I just realized today, as we were talking, Isabel, that maybe that's why my mom passed first, so I could help so many others of you through this as it happened for you.
That's a possibility.
There's always a lesson in everything, I believe. And I think my mom did everything purposeful right up to passing. So I'm okay to be the OG today. So next up, we have my friend Amy. My friend Amy's mom passed last month. They were also extremely close. Her mom was also in her 90s. I think my mom is going to be the baby of the group, having been in her 80s. And again, I didn't know that she would say yes to today. And I'm so honored that she's here. So Amy, welcome. And please meet Diane. And we're so happy to have you here.
Great to have you, Amy.
Thank you. Good to be here.
So how are you doing on your journey, sweetie?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your mom and what she meant to you? And
She was my world. She just passed away on the 16th of December. So I'm still incredibly shattered and not sure quite how to go about my life. I have a lot of big decisions to make. I heard you talking about taking over the space that they've left for you. And right now, I basically have a choice between my career and going back home and being around the only anchor I have on this earth, basically. And the career's been going really well and everything, but it's, it's a big thing. And I'm handling it from 425 miles away from where I'm from and where the house and all of that is. So it's not been easy.
Yeah, it's hard.
It is hard, yeah.
I did it from an hour away, and just making that drive back and forth an hour in traffic in LA is 7 hours. I don't even know how you're doing it, having to drive 5 hours each way. I mean, it's insane. And it's hard, right? Because I know there's a part of you that craves being in that space, because that's the space where she is. And we do feel them around us so much, right? When we go there after they've passed.
Well, yeah. I mean, her big thing was she wanted to die in her house, and she never wanted to go to a nursing home. And they sent her there for physical therapy, and she only lasted like not even 2 days. And I promised her I'd bring her back home. So her urn is now, on the mantle above the fireplace and everything. And there's some things that are a little bit comforting. And the one thing was when I didn't know it was going to be, she was going to die in a matter of hours. Honestly, we kind of thought that she might get better and I'd be her full-time caregiver and stuff. So, plans changed really drastically. But the one thing that comforted me when I was in the room with her that night earlier, because she didn't pass away until I was at home in bed already. So at her house. And, when I was there, she's like, what is that? And what is that? What is that over there? And she kept pointing and saying that. And I kept looking. I'm like, well, the closet door says just, there's nothing there. She just kept looking. And then she's like, And within three hours, she passed away. So I'm pretty sure. And her eyes were really bad. So I think that it was like the thin, the veil.
Sure.
I think that probably her sister and her mother and whatnot were probably all waiting there for her. And that's really about the only comfort I have right now.
Diane, did your mom see anything like that when she was about to pass?
Yeah, she did. She was asking me who the two ladies were behind me. I turned around. This was before she was at the finale, but I turned around and I said, well, Mama, I don't see anybody. But she did. And later I realized, because I didn't know she was dying yet, and I realized that they must have been here to help her through.
Because sure.
She wasn't just hallucinating.
I feel confident in that.
Yeah.
I believe
yeah.
that.
You know, my mom was a psychic medium herself. And so people always ask me, what did she see when she was passing? And the bottom line is nothing. If she saw something, she didn't tell me. So my mom, they took her off of the BiPAP machine. And so I could ask her, and I said, Mama, we got some decisions to make. What do you want to do? And she said, I don't care what you have to do. Get me out of here. So yeah. I put her in end of life care. And man, that Scorpio shot out of her body and she was gone. Like, she could not wait to leave the earth. But I thought there was going to be this big thing where she was going to see the light and a rainbow.
Yeah, me too.
She just went. And I think that sometimes we get disappointed. Your story is great, Amy and Diane. Your story is great. I think sometimes I was a little disappointed. Like, why didn't my mom see Jesus? But it's just what it is, right? They all have a different experience. And they, for all I know, she saw everything and just didn't tell me.
On another note, I'm sorry, Sheena, I'm watching Amy in the camera. I know our listeners cannot see the camera, but
right.
Amy, I can see your pain. I can feel it. I'm watching you hold your sides. And what are you doing? I asked the last guest this. What are you doing to take care of yourself? Because I know you are raw right now. And are you allowing yourself to just feel and cry and hurt?
That happens anyway, but the big thing is I just got back Sunday night from doing all the legal stuff for my mom. Mm-hmm. I went back and spent the last week there.
Oh, there's so and, much you to know, do.
Luckily, she put everything into a living trust, so it wasn't as bad as it could be, but I had to do all that legal stuff and everything. I'm the only kid,
mm-hmm.
and I'm all that's left, so I've had to do all of that, and that's been pretty rough. But I'm hoping now that I've gotten most of that out of the way that I can just kind of grieve. I've had to go right back to work, and I work in a busy television station and stuff, and it's just chaos as it is. So it's a little weird keeping it all together, and I'm doing what I can, but I know it's going to take a long time.
That.
And I know that I will absolutely never be the same person I was before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's okay.
And
that's
hopefully I'll be better.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. And that's how it should be. I think staying busy and having a busy job is the best thing for you right now, because it's allowing the time to pass. It's allowing you to heal, and it's keeping you busy while you do, so that you don't have every day to just sit and think about it. I mean,
right.
I think that's what got, like I said, that when Isabel was on earlier, that's what got me through. If I had to sit with it and didn't have a million things to do that first 3 months, I don't know that I would have gotten through it. That first 3 months saved me.
Yeah, that's why I say give yourself a grief time, so you don't sit there all day, you know, feeling it, hurting, grieving. If you give yourself a grief time, then when the time is over, you can shut that switch off and say, I'm not allowed to do this right now, not until tomorrow or whatever time you want to do it. And
I have to take a lot of pharmaceuticals just to make myself right on a regular basis. I don't know
that always works too.
Work.
And then there's
I'm going to have to call my psychiatric nurse and up my dosage if I'm going to do that.
You know, whatever you can do to get through the first few months, those are the most brutal. And, you know, I'm at a year mark right now, Amy, and the first 6 months. And I was so overwhelmed with having to do all the legalities myself. You know, like you said, there was a trust and a will, but still there's so much you have to take care of. I mean, that'll be a whole nother show, but there's just so many things you have to do when a parent dies. And a lot of people don't realize that, and somebody has to do it. So it was my job to do it, and I took care of it. And that kept me preoccupied for several months.
It certainly does.
And then I was planning the memorial. So,
and nobody has any sympathy for you. Everybody acts like you're trying to steal your own money. Like, you go to the bank with the trust and they act like you're trying to steal your own money from you. Somebody should teach classes to people that work in banks and for insurance companies for how to have more empathy when dealing with people who are grieving.
Yeah. You know, on that note, Sheena, that's another thing that I think Amy should do. Amy, talking to people that can relate to you, that you trust too. I mean, you can't just go on social media. I've seen people go on social media and they try to get, you know, they try to get everything resolved with their friends online, and you don't have very empathetic, you know, people sometimes, and they'll throw you back into the worst place. So it's really important that you talk to others, share as much as you can, write about it, sing about it. You know, I wrote a song. Yeah, go ahead.
It's been really helpful to be back home, though, too, because I've been hanging out with childhood friends.
Oh, that's nice.
Come out of the woodworks. And these are people that have known my mom since I was a little girl. They knew my mom, too.
Awesome.
So I've had a lot of friends, long-term friends, people that I've known since I was real, real little, come over. And my mom's best friend, who lives out there in Torrance, actually, she's been calling me a lot and checking on me. And that was my mom's best friend. And when I first moved out to LA, she let me stay out there for a couple weeks with her in Torrance. And that's kind of how I started my whole career and everything. Mm-hmm. And, so it's nice to talk to my mom's best friend and have all that.
That's wonderful that you have that. Very
you
good.
You know, something interesting, and here I go as woo-woo girl about how there are no accidents. So when my mom passed, Amy was on the phone with me immediately after, because my mom died at sunrise. So all my LA friends had to go to bed, and Amy was on the East Coast. So she had just gotten up. So when my mom passed, that first 3 or 4 hours, the hardest time, right? That's when Amy was with me that whole time. And I don't know what I would have done without her. The night that Amy's mom was so sick and crucial, I was on the phone texting her, and I was at a birthday party for Gay Ann, who's our next guest. Is that the weirdest thing? How everybody ties together, how everything is so tied together. So
that
I was literally texting from Gay Ann's party, Amy, who was texting me about what was going on with her mom. So it's important, I think, at times like this, for us to lean on our faith and our spirituality, and for us to know that we're all so close and our souls are so interwoven together, and we're not alone. We're not really separated from those who've passed, and we're not separated from those who are on the earth together. And like I said to Isabel, Amy, your mom knows that you've made a lot of choices to be near her in your life. And now you have the ability to do anything you want with your life for the rest of your life with her guidance and support, right? She will always be there to support you and love you and take care of you. And now you're starting the next chapter of anything you want to do is all good.
And that was part of the plan anyway. We had a plan of what I was going to do and how I was going to come back, and I'm pretty sure I'm just going to continue and do that plan and
beautiful,
just go and enjoy my life and not make my career be so much and everything else so big.
You're going to find that there are no more big deals. You know, after we lose somebody like our parent that we're so close to, nothing seems as big anymore. That was like,
and I've done it. I've been there, did it. You know, I came from a little tiny town in the middle of nowhere, and I did my thing in LA. I've lived all over the country working in entertainment. I mean, how much more excitement do I need? I don't know.
Well, we always need excitement.
Right. I'll find it somehow. But
you will. You will. I have faith in you. Look at you open up. I see you now. Look at that smile. That's nice.
Yeah, Amy's the best, and she's going to come out here and visit us a lot because LA is good for her too.
Okay. I know. There's a part of me that maybe I could end up in a couple of years selling that house and going out there. I'm waiting for you guys to have big earthquakes so everybody gets scared and leaves.
Well, let me tell you, Diane and I can both attest to the fact that you need to come live in Surf City because it is the best place in the world for quality of life.
Oh, it's amazing.
Well, I want to be south anyway, like San Diego or something like that now.
Older. You're going
like
to
go south.
Well, I look forward to meeting you, Amy. If you're a friend of Sheena's, you're a friend of mine.
Absolutely. Same here. Thank you.
Hun, we're sending you so much love and light on your journey. And we're so happy that you were here with us. Thank you. We're so honored. And we're here if you need us, both of us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Wow.
Beautiful guess, right? Did your mom die on the 21st?
Yes, the 21st of December.
So she died on Yule.
Oh, yeah.
That's an amazing Celtic holiday. That's the shortest day of the year. That ushers in the winter. That's actually honest, legit Christmas. That's the old Christmas before there was Christmas. What a magic day for her to have passed on, because that's a day when the veil is very thin. That's a very magic day. I don't know why it never occurred to me to tell you that before now.
Wow. Sometimes and she was a nice Jewish girl.
Right. And she got a nice pagan holiday, like a friend to the Irish.
Oh, God. I feel guilty for laughing after listening to everybody's pain.
No, but you know what? We're all going to laugh through this together and get through this together. And I think that both Isabel and Amy have retained a beautiful sense of humor and sense of grace in what has happened. And I think that is the most important thing. You know, they're both, I think, an example for others of how to handle the worst thing in your life. I'll tell you something really interesting that my best friend, and I've known her since I was 14. She's not somebody to like throw out gushy compliments, right? She's like a tough Irish chick, and you don't always hear, she's not a gusher. And one day she said the most beautiful thing to me that I will never forget my whole life. She said, I'm going to cry, Diane. She said, I'm so proud of you. You'll never know how proud I am of you for taking what should have been the worst thing in your life and making something beautiful out of it.
And
that's 100% my mom. That was because of my mom, because that's how my mom was. My mom was the queen of making lemonade out of a dung heap.
Yeah. And, so is my mother. Absolutely.
And you know, those women, all of these women, right? Isabel's mom, Amy's mom, your mom, my mom, they were Depression era chicks. Like, they fought through the hard stuff.
Right, right.
And they knew not to sweat the small stuff and worry about every little thing. And if there's anything in my life that I'm proud of, it's one of those things is exactly what she said, that I've tried to make good and honor my mom by doing good things for the world because she passed. And not like being angry or, oh, I'm so mad at everybody, my mom passed. Because that's not what any of our moms want, right?
Well, you know, Sheena, I'm proud of you. Oh. I am so honored to do this show with you, because you are such a wonderful teacher and mentor to me.
Thank you.
You know,
Sarah,
I learned a lot from you. So thank you. I need you to know that I'm proud of you too.
I appreciate that. And I'm so honored to be your friend. You're one of the best things that's happened to me this year. Is becoming better friends with you, and I'm so excited every time we get to talk. I'm like, it's Diane on the phone, and I get so excited because you're so awesome. Let's bring our last guest in. This is, of course, our mutual friend Gayanne, and isn't that strange that Amy's mom passed on during Gayanne's birthday party?
That is bizarre.
It's what Gayanne's mom has gone. I believe a little over 2 years. Let's bring Gayanne. Is that right, Gayanne? A little over 2 years?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Hi, Diane. Hi, Sheena.
Hi, Gayanne.
Hi, sweetheart.
My mother passed away, because I'm listening to everyone. She passed November 2nd, 2021, and that's All Souls Day. And in the Catholic religion, I don't know about Christian, but like the other Christian people, but I know it's Catholic. And it's like weird that she was sort of waiting for that. Mm. And another weird thing that I noticed, excuse me, is that I'm an only child. Mm. Gina's an only child.
Yeah.
Amy's an only child. And I think Isabel's an only child, or I could be wrong.
No, Isabel's not an only child, okay. But the three of us definitely are. Yes. And and there's that moment, right? Where you, and I know Amy said this today. I don't know if yours was the same way, but my mom was the baby of the family. So when she passed, everybody else was already gone.
Mine too. My mother.
And so I was literally an orphan on the earth.
Yeah. And I keep telling people that I'm like, you know, I really don't have family because that's it. It was the three of us. I've got cousins. Don't get me wrong. It's not like, you know, I was, you know, raised by wolves in the wilderness, but I'm not close. I am not close to my cousins. Never have, never have been. They were also so much older than me because both my father and my mother were the babies of their family. And they both were kind of like the accidents. So their children, so my uncles and aunts were way older than them and their kids were way older than me. So, you know, it's like, okay, whatever. But I totally resonated with, you know, hey, look, Sheena, you know this. I mean, my mother passed. She did not put things in a trust. Oh, joy to the world. Oh no, I'm going to get screwed big time. But that's not the reason why I'm holding on to the house. The house is in New Jersey. It's been there. It's my cousins check it out. It's just partially really hard, although it's better. It's getting better. I didn't want to go. It was just too much to do it on my own and more of the emotional than, you know, getting yes. people to help me, you know? So I think I'm ready and I don't know if I'm ready because I'm still using the word think, but I'm going to try to see if 2024 will be the year that I can actually go to New Jersey for a long period of time and deal with all that stuff.
This is something that I tell everybody and I should have said earlier. I know I said it to Diane. I should have said it to Isabel and to Amy. Nobody can tell you when it's time to stop grieving. And nobody can tell you when it's time to go through someone's stuff. I didn't touch this house for 6 years. I mean, I came and I visited and I flushed the toilets and cleaned the pool. But I did not. Nobody lived in this house for 6 years because I just couldn't face it. And even now, I live in half the house. Half the house is shoved into rooms. Part of it's waiting for a remodel. I haven't gone through all her stuff. And you know what? I don't feel anybody has a right to tell you when. And so many people told me, oh, you just need to pull a dumpster up in front of the house and keep 5 things and throw everything else out. To me, that was such like a sacrilege for what my mom meant to me.
Well, it's horrible. I'm just
put all her stuff in a dumpster and then, you know, start over. And it's funny because when I moved in here, which was kind of an accident, I didn't mean to stay. I had always thought, well, someday I'll, you know, put all this other furniture in this house. If I keep it, I'm going to get all, man, I love her furniture and I'm keeping almost all of it I have kept because it's the furniture I grew up with.
Yep.
And it's so important. It was important to her. So it's important to me, and anything I'm going to go like walk into a furniture store and buy is going to be more important than something my mom loved and I've known for 50 something years and she loved for 10 years before that. And it was my grandmother's. You know, I just think we can't let people force us to make all the decisions while we're still grieving because you don't have to and you can't undo the decisions you make. Do you agree with that, Diane?
Yeah. And, you know, we grieve so differently, each of us. And I noticed as you were talking about your couches and her belongings and everything, when my mom passed, I donated her clothes immediately.
Sure.
I couldn't look at them. It was so painful. Now I'm kicking myself because, you know, I just want to hold one of her shirts, but luckily I have a few things. But no, I mean, every person grieves in their own way. Is there any amount of time that it should be over? No, like you said, it takes what it takes. The only thing that I might be, I might feel differently about it is that the sooner you do it, the more you do it, you desensitize yourself. So if you can gradually, you know, face some of those things and do some of those things sooner rather than later, it's not going to be as painful. It heals the wounds quicker. But again, there's no set time.
But Diane, that's all subjective. You know, I mean, what
that's
you're
true.
Saying, it's like, mm-hmm. I'm a Capricorn. I block things out right away. You know, I desensitize myself right away. I go into that. Yes, I'm an only child. Yes, I'm an orphan. Yes, my mother died. And it happened when my father passed too. I just go right in to paper, all that stuff. I do stuff. And then I forget about desensitize. I like move on, but it was harder with my mom because I moved my mom in with me in 2015. So she actually lived in my home till 2021. And I have to say, just for my own personal space to move on in a way, I did get rid of all her clothing mm-hmm. and all her medical machines. I had to have my home completely like cleared of that. I kept some stuff because that was bogging me down in my own home, where I would like face grief every day at every place that I looked that I knew she was with. But it and you know, sometimes it made me happy. More times at the time, it made me cry. But I had to do it for my own personal space. Now, the house in New Jersey, that's, you know, 20, that's my childhood. And that's a little bit deeper.
Yeah. It's harder when it's your childhood. Yeah. And you know, I don't know that I even have emotions around it now. No, I haven't gone through it. When I go through it and I start calling you both weeping, then you'll know I still have emotions. But for me, it's just that I hadn't decided yet what I wanted to do with any of it. So I decided the compromise was to block off a couple rooms and move everything in there, move into the house and live in the house and see how I felt about it. And I had every intention that maybe I was just going to rent it. And then I fell in love with it. And slowly but surely, I've gotten rid of a couple of pieces of furniture that my mom added later. And I brought some other things in that I think she would have loved. I adopt antique furniture off the Nextdoor app. So uh-huh. I've done some of that. But as I do it, it's interesting because I, of course, wanted to make it a beautiful environment for my feline son, Cullen. But I also want to make it a place my mom feels proud of. And as I do things for the house, I think about, would she like this? Would she like that? And I try to make the house a place that honors her. And like I said, one of my favorite things is that I do all my shows at her desk. And she loved this desk. She loved her office. And I've made it even more spiritual than it was. And I think I've added things she would love. And I think it's okay to continue to honor them for the rest of the time.
You've embraced every aspect of your mother in that house. You know, I've noticed that. And that's why you can talk about it so freely now without, you know, really falling into, like for me, a hysterical mess. But what do they call that? An ugly cry?
Yep. Sure.
But, you know, you've embraced every aspect. I've watched you. And I think it's really done wonders for you in the healing department.
I agree. I mean, I've seen Sheena and I've known each other a really long time, and your mom passed before mine, so you were sort of mentoring me, mentoring me through grief and stuff like that, because, you know, I would always reach out to Sheena at that. But, you know, Sheena, I want to say that, you know, you're lucky because, you know, the house is here. You're local. Yes. You know, mine's 3,000 miles away. And I think part of me is the angst of knowing I'm not going to move back to New Jersey. So it's actually selling the house. And that is where I have like panic attacks, thinking that ultimately is it. Because if my mother lived here, you know, I'd keep her house, but it's, and all her furniture, I don't care how much it's going to spend. She has the coolest mid-century modern original furniture, which is so my thing. I don't care if it costs me thousands and thousands to have it shipped to California. Yes. I'm keeping it.
Do it. Yes. Do it. Yeah. It's yes. And it's, and you know, I know that she's with you and she enjoys that and she will love that you bring her furniture out.
The funny part is growing up, I always say, I hated this furniture.
Yeah. No, I did the same thing. I'm going to get rid of all this and I'm going to go to IKEA and buy some furniture I like.
Yep.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? And now I'm like, I love this coffee table. I remember when I sat on it when I was two.
Well, now I feel ashamed. I gutted the house and I took all the furniture and I got rid of everything and remodeled the whole house while taking care of my mother.
Wow.
You scorched the earth like a Scorpio. Look
yes,
at you,
you did.
That's okay. It's okay. We all, you know, this is the thing. I think sometimes when I'm giving myself a hard time, and I think we all beat ourselves up too much, right? I remember that there was a time when I thought I wasn't going to live on the earth without her. I was just going to cease to be. So every day that I'm here and I'm productive and I'm helping people and I'm paying my bills and I'm taking care of the cat, and I'm being a good friend, and I'm being a good spiritual counselor to people, I'm doing my thing without her and I'm okay. That's enough. I don't have to like be 100% over the grief. I don't have to always be a rock star. You just have to keep breathing and get through each day, right?
Well,
and
well, first of all, let me interject. The three of us don't have to be rock stars. We were born that way. Okay. So that's number one. Number two, I would say the greatest gift my mother gave me when she passed was I had to grow up. I had to grow up. She was always there, and it was always like a support system. And that's what I miss the most. And in like just coming to her for everything, like asking her for her advice, we fought like cats and dogs, but knowing that there was one person on this earth that only had my best interest in mind, even if we didn't agree. Yeah. So in losing her, yeah, I lost part of my world. I lost part of my, it's like I had to grow up. I realize, and that was a big thing. I'm realizing the people that were my friends or family that I chose were really some of them pieces of crap. And weren't there for me when I needed it. So, you know, I'm actually like starting, I feel like I'm rebirthed where I'm starting to meet new people and sort of, I guess, have the word discernment and sort of brave this whole world life at 60 years old to be an adult on my own, to get those skills. And it's been really hard when you've been protected, you know, when you go, okay, I don't give a shit if I don't have friends. I have my mom. And so it's really hard at 60 to sort of like start to make a family, you know, and I've been burned. Sheena knows a lot of the story, but by people who I loved and trusted. And so it's now I'm in therapy, shocking, trying to figure out, you know, how to protect myself, how to be discerning, you know, understanding that my relationship with my mom was codependency. You know, it's stuff that people talk shitty about, but it's okay if it's with your mom, you know, but then those things of codependency and, you know, all that shit, you know, that is also in my real life. So I, you know, being, having it with mom is one thing, but other people not so healthy for me. And I never had to set boundaries. I'm learning, oh my God, how to say no to people. Oh shit. That is the hardest thing for me, you know?
And so beautiful. You're doing great, sweetheart. You're doing so great. We're totally out of time. Thank you for being here
and sharing your
story. We love you so much. And Diane and I are both here for you.
Thank you, Gayan.
Bye. Thank you.
Well, we did it, buddy. We got through our first show. What do you think?
We did. We made it to the other side, side by side.
We did. We made it to the other side, side by side. Please look for us on Facebook. We have a page, Side by Side Show. Please follow us there. Website, we'll send you there, sidebysideshow.com. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com. Diane?
DianeKatz.com. And Sheena, you know, this is my mom's birthday. Happy birthday, Mama. Happy and birthday, I Mom. Have written a song, you know, to process some of my feelings. And I think we're going to play. How about we play that at the end of the show?
We're going to play that right now. Till we see you next week. Keep healing. Keep getting healthy. And remember that everything spiritual and everything psychological lives in you side by side. And that's why we're here. I'm Sheena Metal and I'm a psychic medium.
And I say, keep the love alive.
Diane Katz is a mental health professional. And here's a song she wrote for her mom. We'll see you next time.
Watching you fade away was a hard thing. Life will never be the same. What will my future bring? I know I must be strong, and I know life goes on. I want you. Tears and my cries, the nights pass red in eyes. Is that you I hear? I wanna know if you're really there. Is it you I hear every single day? something I can't see. Oh, I have to believe. I'll wait for a sign. I'll wait my whole life. I promise you'll be proud. Talk to you every day out loud.
Is that you I hear?
I wanna know if you're really there. Is it you I hear every single day? I guess faith is something I can't see.
I have to believe.